Thanksgiving this year, I want to visit one of my favorite stories in the gospel, and it is the story that Camaro read this morning, the story of the 10 lepers. And I'm not sure that any of us can really relate to what it is like to have your entire life change in just one brief moment, especially for the good. A lot of us know what it's like to have our life changed for the worse, for the bad, when tragedy and things strike. I know that I can't. Perhaps the closest thing that I can come to as an example of my life changing so dramatically in just an instance is, like many of us, when I got married. You know, 34 years ago, you know, in the morning, in the morning to, forgive me, but in the morning to be sleeping with Belva was absolutely a no-no. But after 11:30, it was okay. Why we waited until that night, I have no idea, but that's another story. You know? I mean, at first it's not allowed, and then it's okay, and I wish that that was more the case today. But my life changed dramatically. Or what about when for 3.5, almost 4 years, we were just two adults living together, responsible for our own lives, and then boom, on April 21st, 1987, we all of a sudden became responsible for another life, education, and spiritual formation, and welfare of a child. In fact, it's interesting, that song that we sang, Because He Lives, was written by Gloria Gaither in 1971, and she wrote it as she was pondering giving birth to her first child. And that line, "How sweet to hold a newborn baby," came out of her struggle with how do I bring a child into this world. And as much as she felt those words back then, how much more we feel those words bringing children into the world today. But because He lives, this child can face tomorrow. And so my life changed in an instant, and guess what? It's getting ready to change again. We get to go today and find out whether we're having a granddaughter or a grandson this afternoon, and so I can't wait for how my life is going to change. I've been told over and over and over and over and over and over that it is so much better with grandchildren than it is your own children. So we're looking forward to that. But we all know that life has a way of changing in the blink of an eye. Sometimes it progresses, but sometimes without any notice at all, our lives are totally turned upside down. As I said, normally it's for the worse. It's not for the better. When those times happen, how would you react? How could you react? How should you react? And the men in our story this morning, like all of us here this morning, have so much to be thankful for. And I think we can learn a thing or two from them as we consider their story. Camaro did a great job of reading the scriptures this morning. And again, if you want to read scripture, all you have to do is send me a text, a phone call, or an email and say, "Pastor, I want to do scripture reading," and I will put you on the list. You should have seen the excitement when I went to his house. And I asked his brother first, and his brother said, I'm not so sure I'm ready to do that. But Kamar was like, I'll do it. I'm so thankful for young children that will say, "I will read the word of God." What an example for the rest of us as adults. But the first thing that we see in this story is that all of them needed help. They all needed help. While traveling to Jerusalem, the Bible says, he passed between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, 10 men with a serious skin disease met him. These 10 men were all in the same boat. They do, in case you're not aware, they do everything together. They live in a colony. and they are shunned from society. And they do everything together. Consider what it says about these 10 men with serious skin disease. That conjures up all sorts of thoughts and images, and it should. Leprosy, in fact, is still very much prevalent in many parts of Africa and many parts of the rest of the world. We don't deal with it at all that I know of here in America, but there are still many countries in the 21st century who still wrestle with leprosy. And so they had a serious skin disease, the Bible says. And just the thought of leprosy probably gives you the heebie-jeebies, right? That's a deep theological word for ooh. And they're all in the same boat. And look what else it says. It says, they, collectively, they're there together. They stood at a distance and raised their voices saying, Jesus, have mercy on us. All together in one accord, in one voice, Jesus, have mercy on us. As I thought about this story and read over it again in preparation for this morning, you know what stands out the most about these men and this story? It's not the fact that they had a skin disease. I have no idea what it's like to have leprosy. And if you've been in church for any length of time at all, or if you've ever heard this story, read this story, heard a Sunday school message on this story, heard a sermon on this story, you probably know all you need and more than you ever wanted to know about leprosy and the laws of on how they were unclean. But what stands out to me most is the fact that these 10 men, listen to this, these 10 men are all these 10 men have. Do you understand that? They have no one else. They have to rely on one another. These 10 men are the only friends they have. Outside of themselves, they have no one who cares about them. They have no one who will give them a second look because it's too repulsive. They are the only friends they have, and they needed help. And as I said, I have no idea what it's like to have leprosy, but you know what I do know? I know what it's like to not fit in. I know what it's like to feel ostracized, to feel rejected. We probably all do to some extent. As a kid growing up, always being the smallest one in the neighborhood, having red hair and freckles didn't help either. Having a name like Clay or Mud, Clay-Doh, Play-Doh, doesn't help either. But the real kicker, the topper, the icing on the cake was being a kid with red hair and freckles, being the smallest one in the neighborhood who had six fingers on one hand. Yeah. I was born with a sixth finger, had no bone. It just kind of did that, and it was taken care of partly when I was newborn, but not completely. And so I always had this little sixth finger, and kids can be really cruel to each other, can't they? So I know what it's like to not fit in and to feel ostracized and nobody wanting to be around you and those kind of things like that. Every one of us, if given the chance, could probably tell of a time when we felt like we didn't fit in, where we were rejected, where nobody wanted where we felt like we had nobody. Or maybe we've all encountered that one person that you see at the gas station, or maybe in the convenience store. You know, that person who's kind of talking to everybody in general, but nobody in particular. And they're just kind of not all there. And you do your best to ignore them, because really they're just a nuisance. And you just soon they go on about your way, and you pray that they don't stop and talk to you. You know what I'm talking about. You've been there, haven't you? Yeah. You try to ignore them like he's just not there. That's how these 10 men felt. They were a scourge. They were a nuisance. That's how these men felt, but so much worse. Ignored, unaccepted, a pain, a nuisance. And I can't help but think that when they cried out to Jesus for mercy, they weren't crying out just for, it wasn't just mercy from the pain of leprosy, because it can be a very painful disease. They weren't crying out just to Jesus just for mercy from the pain of leprosy, but they were crying out to Jesus for mercy of the pain of loneliness and rejection. I mean, think about it. For who knows how long this was the only world they knew. And it got old real quick, right? And they needed help. And now, we're not told, we don't know, it's just a guess. I don't know if they saw Jesus before this day. I don't know how they knew it was Jesus. Perhaps they had gotten word back at the colony about who Jesus was and what he was like. Or maybe it was a simple fact. Maybe it was just a simple fact that they were so tired and desperate that they decided it was worth the risk to ask. We don't know. You know, people do that, you know. When their pain is so great, when their loneliness is so great, when their rejection is so great, they get so tired and so desperate for help that anything is worth the risk. And they'll try anything to take away the pain and the hurt and the loneliness that they feel. What, I mean, after all, what could it hurt to ask this man? Maybe that was the case for these 10 men. What could it hurt? The worst that could happen is that he is not Jesus and he will run away like everybody else has done every single time. It certainly wouldn't have been the first time. But Jesus didn't run away. He didn't run away. And so while all of them needed help, all of them received grace. They all received grace. What happened to these men has happened time and time and time again when people encounter Jesus. Not the healing. That was miraculous in itself, definitely. That was extraordinary. That was, by the way, that was not what they asked for. They didn't ask to be healed. They asked for mercy, for kindness, for gentleness, for acceptance. They didn't ask to be healed. I mean, read the text. They didn't ask. They said, Jesus, have mercy on us. Don't run away. Don't shame us. Don't scold us. Don't reject us. Have mercy on us. They asked for mercy. What happened to them that has happened to everyone who ever has encountered Jesus is that they always get more than they asked for. When you met Jesus, you got far more than you asked for. In fact, you didn't even know what to ask for, and you got it. Because that's what Jesus does. That's always the way it is with Jesus. They did not ask for healing, they asked for mercy. Now, what is mercy? Mercy, listen to this, mercy is not getting what you deserve. That's what mercy is. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Because what they deserved was judgment. Judgment, justice is getting what you deserve. We all deserved justice with God. We all deserve death. We all deserve separation from God because of our sin. They asked for mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. What they deserve was justice. They deserved banishment. They deserved rejection according to the law and the standards of the day. All they wanted was some time. Maybe some conversation to ease their loneliness. That would be nice. I mean, who knows how long, think about it, Who knows how long it had been since anyone ever took any time with them? That person that comes up to you in the store, at the gas station, on the corner. And I know we could debate that all day long. But how long has it been since someone has stopped and talked to them? Ask them what their name was. Who knows how long it had been since anyone had looked them in the eye without wincing in horror and looking away? Who knows? Who knows how long it had been since anyone was even close enough to even look them in the eye? Jesus didn't do that. And now I don't know if they got any food from him. I don't know how long Jesus took with them to speak with them. But I know that he gave them more than what they asked for. And I know he gave them mercy. But he also gave them grace. He also gave them grace. So now, mercy is not getting what you deserve. Judgment is getting what you deserve. But grace, you heard it. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. They receive grace. They receive healing. And guess what? Every one of us have received the same thing if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We've received mercy, but we've received grace. We've received what we don't deserve. I don't deserve God's love. I can't merit God's love. I can't do anything for God's love. We have the Bible says every one of us have received the same thing if we have a relationship with Jesus. Talk about something to be thankful for on Thanksgiving. The Bible says we have passed out of judgment. The Bible says, therefore, no condemnation exists for those in Christ Jesus. Let that sink in. No condemnation exists for those who are in Christ Jesus. We don't get condemnation when we come to Jesus Christ. We go to people for that, right? We're good at that. But we also have received mercy. The very fact that we have not been condemned shows God's mercy towards us. In fact, the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk asked the Lord, in your wrath, remember mercy. And he does. God does. God remembers mercy and shows us mercy. And that's exactly what he did. And that is exactly what he has given each of us, mercy, not justice. He has given us mercy and he has given us grace. What we deserve is nothing other than eternal separation from the God of the universe. But instead, he has given us grace. He has given us a way back to him. The Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through your faith. By God's grace. I would not dare speak for any of you. But for me, I can honestly say that with Jesus, I always get more than what I ever asked for or expected. Every single time. And that brings us to the thoughts of Thanksgiving. What was their response to all that Jesus had done for them? What should be our response? Really, every day, but especially the week of Thanksgiving. So all of them needed help. They all received grace. But only one expressed gratitude. We are really good of dine and dash when it comes to God. We yell our order out. We get it. And we're on our way without thinking about what the Lord has really done for us. I can't tell you the number of times over my 30 years of ministry where people have implored the Lord for certain things in their life. I don't mean trivial things. I mean big things. And God has been gracious and merciful and answered prayers, and they go on about their way, never once showing gratitude to God. Lord, help us. Look at the story again. They all leave. Every one of them getting more than they expected. They asked for mercy, but what they got was healing. They received grace and healing. But isn't it just like human nature to forget so quickly? You know, if you are suffering, probably not the case, but if you are suffering from an overgrateful spirit, just wait a few days and it'll pass. We all really have way more than what we need. Most of us have almost all of what we want. And yet Belva and I sit on a Saturday evening and we gripe because our dish is not working right and we can't record our shows. Just a moment of transparency. I kept my religion, though. One man came back and got so much more. One man came back and got so much more. I love what Jesus says. Then Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he told him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." One of them came back and got so much more. Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." And that is where gratitude comes in. As we think about Thanksgiving, that's where gratitude comes in. He received so much more than physical healing. He experienced wellness. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you whole. That goes beyond the physical. Wholeness moves into the area of the mental, the emotional, the spiritual part of who we are and where we live. I know a whole lot of people who are physically fit as a fiddle, but they are not whole and they are not well. Because wholeness and wellness has nothing to do with our physical body. Oh, 10 of them were healed, but only one was made well. Only one was made whole. They're not grateful. Because gratitude goes beyond what we can hold in our hands to what we can hold in our hearts. I have a good friend. I've met many people over the years through my Kairos Prison Ministry. And after doing Kairos Prison Ministry for 15 plus years, I'm getting to the point where many of the men that I've worked with over the years are now being paroled out. And I see them on Facebook and I'm like, I would have never thought. Because a lot of them, when they went in, personal computers weren't even around. I'm talking some long-term people. And I have a man, men who were never supposed to see the light of day, but for the grace of God. Men like Steve Roach, who in 1967 received justice. He got what he deserved. He received a life sentence. And after serving some time, he was paroled out and he went back to prison again. And this time he received 2 55-year sentences. He was never to see the light of day again. And then he had a smart idea and he escaped. And he was on the run for 5 days, and thanks to a godly wife who convinced him to go back and turn himself in, he did, and he received an additional 12 years. He's got 2 55-year sentences plus 12 for escape. And in prison, not only did he receive justice, but he received grace as well. He met a man one night in prison named Jesus, who gave him grace and showed him mercy. And then the laws of the land showed him grace and favor. And today he is a free man, although he's on life parole, will wear an ankle monitor for the rest of his days. And I'm not going to debate the merits of whether he should or shouldn't have been released. I don't know enough facts about his case, and I don't know enough facts about the law to argue that. But what I can tell you is this. He is one of the most grateful men I have ever met in my life. He got out. Once out of prison, the only job he could find was at a Taco Bell, working 2 days a week sweeping up the parking lot. They wouldn't even let him work the register because he was a convicted felon. And he told me, he said, I may not be helping my family out very much, but I'm not taking anything away from them either. His first paycheck, his take-home pay was $91. Most of us spend that in a day. And he said to me, I have never been happier in my life. You see, we are often ungrateful people. It's not what you hold in your hand, it's what you hold in your heart. And so, as we approach Thanksgiving, what are you truly grateful for this Thanksgiving? I'm going to give you a chance to express that to God this year. You have in your bulletin a sheet of paper. It's got 50 numbers on it, 1 through 50. And this is not a get as many as you can in as short a time of period as you can assignment. I don't want you to name all of your family members because I know that would be a lie for some of you and who you're grateful for. Okay? Right? So don't name all of your family members and don't name all of your friends. Don't pick trivial things like your new socks or the gas in your car, but you can tell God how thankful you are for the clothing you have and reliable transportation. Go beyond the surface. So here's what I want you. You could. I'm going to give you a little bit of. I'm going to prime the pump a little bit, okay? You could consider some of the following: your health, forgiveness of sin, shelter, educational opportunities that we have here in America that other people don't have, steady income, the privilege of prayer. What about such things as your senses? Something that we've experienced just recently, and that is the ability to live under a stable government, choose your own government, disagree with your own government. Those are freedoms that are unique to us. What about the joy of giving back to the Lord or giving back to your work, a spouse or a soulmate? What about being thankful for peace in our land? I would hope that you would be grateful for your church family. I know I am. What about the opportunity to travel, if that is the case? The assurance of life after death and the place God has prepared for you for all eternity. What about being grateful for your environment or God's patience with you in your spiritual progress? Or what about being grateful for the problems you encounter along the way that help you grow spiritually? Now, right there, I've given you about 25. You go back and count them. I've listed about 25 for you, and you can't do a repeat. No repeats. I want you to think. And so take some time today, possibly, and try to get 25 more recorded. And then over the course of the week, don't sit down all at one time. Don't cram yourself, but just as you're going through your week, through life, what are you grateful for? Then over the course of this week, try to get another 25 and share them with whomever you can, wherever you can. And maybe do what we often do come Thanksgiving Day and take time around the table to say, what am I truly grateful for? Just a little something to jog our memories. I know we're grateful, but We need to learn to express it and be specific about what we're grateful for. And so as we close this morning, I want to give you an opportunity, if you have never done so, to respond to the mercy and grace that Jesus Christ offers you today. These men's lives were changed in a moment, and yours can be too. The Bible says that when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, and when we ask Him to forgive us of our sins and accept Him as Lord and Savior in our life, even if you don't know what all that really entails, if you with your heart truly believe that you have sin in your life that only God can take care of through the death, burial, and resurrection, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, He will forgive you, and He will make you a brand new creation. Brand new, the Bible says. As one pastor friend of mine put it, that's a pretty good deal. It's a pretty good deal. Or maybe you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you know for a fact that Jesus lives in your life and that you have forgiveness of sin and you have assurance of heaven when you leave this earth. Maybe you've done that, but you've never gone public with Jesus Christ through baptism. That really is part of the process. If you are truly grateful for what God has done in your life, if you are truly grateful for Jesus Christ saving you from your sins and giving you a new life, then the Bible says you need to proclaim that through baptism. That's how you show your gratitude to Jesus, is by following Him through the waters of baptism. Maybe that's a need that you have this morning. We want to give you that opportunity. We want to set that up for you. We want to talk to you about what it means to be baptized after you respond to the invitation to have Jesus in your life. I mentioned being grateful for your church family. Maybe you've never made it official. You know, maybe you've kind of been dancing around it. And maybe God has brought you here and you've been coming and you just need to make it official. You need to say, Lord, I want to put my membership and my ministry, my name as well as what I do for you in the life of this church. And you've never done that. We want to give you that opportunity as well. In just a moment, we're gonna close our service, we're gonna bow our heads and we're gonna pray. And after that, if you want to know more about asking Jesus Christ into your life, we'll have some people here who can help you do that. Or maybe you need to make an appointment. Say, I have more questions. We want to do that for you. Or maybe, as I said, you realize you need to follow Jesus Christ in baptism. You know that Jesus is alive in your life, but you've never gone public. You've never been baptized. And you need to do that. We want to give you an opportunity to respond to that and celebrate your new life with Jesus Christ through the waters of baptism. Or maybe you just need to say, Pastor, I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I've made a public profession of Jesus Christ, but I want to put my ministry in the life of this church. We would love to be able to celebrate that with you. Let's pray. Father,